Well, it's that time of the week again. It's Thursday again, and we've got the usual packed show this evening. Today's date is October the 7th. This is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Enjoy the show. Hi all and welcome to this week's show. Right, let's get straight down to it. And there will be a TBC communal gatherings Zoom call next Sunday at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, which fortunately for Holly is now the exact same time, so she shouldn't get it wrong this time. And I can feel the hands around my throat at this very moment. But all joking aside, all communion gathering people I'm asking to attend, and those interested in or who are joining the village also, there will be updates on both. And I've asked each gathering leader to update their gathering's progress within this call. So that's 3 p.m. Mountain Time this Sunday. And also we'll have Q&A on items concerning the individual gatherings and also the village. Another must-listen-to show is coming up this Tuesday at the same time, and probably another one the following Tuesday. I've got numbers in the pipeline and I need to get some of them out. Now, on Saturday's extra show, I opened up with this piece, and I think it's important that we read it again for those who don't catch up with the extra shows. And if I'll repeat what I said last week, go to thi-show.com and you can find all the latest there. So there was an important document released by the Canadian government about a new emergency act signed in Saskatchewan, but also it was signed in some American states that has the potential to bring in the military of varying nations to enforce the fake emergency. And perhaps it's like the UN in Australia. But some of the rhetoric in it is deeply disturbing, and these emergency powers echo wartime conditions, and a great question to ask is, who is the war between? And some of the things they're saying is they will take over and acquire personal property for the emergency, control or prohibit travel, which means quarantines and potential checkpoints, and the papers please. And essentially they're saying if your house, business or land is designated of use during the emergency, they can and will throw you out, saying they will place you in alternative accommodation. Is that the quarantine camps they've been setting up? And they said they can enter any building or house without warrant, procure or fix prices for food, clothing, fuel, equipment, medical or other supplies. The demolition of trees and or crops during the emergency. Acquire land, homes and properties deemed in the way of this fake emergency. Now, given Saskatchewan is mainly farmland, one wonders, are they going to take over the food or destroy it and make it a real dark winter? And they say all persons must comply with orders. From whom? In reality, there's no possible emergency to accommodate these draconian powers. Canada, like Australia, you're on notice.
Und der deutsche Volk sieg heil! Sieg heil! Sieg heil! Sieg heil! Sieg heil! Sieg heil!
indeed. Now, this is not something to fear. At some point, it will be inevitable that flashpoints between the people and the old system will occur. And their sheer desperation now is evidential for all to see. It is they who are terrified, as every one of their plans has backfired. And what this also reveals is their vaccine program is collapsing. They lie about how many are jabbed and lie about how many are killed or injured by said jabs. They have turned on the health and care workers, turned on the police, turned on the military, and many of the latter two will support the people in our fight against this global tyranny. We will have other support also, should it be required. But a united peoples cannot be defeated, and so hopefully the extra help will not be needed. But this act of acquiring property can be reversed by the people as we implement our own emergency act. Procure the homes, businesses of the global elites, pharmaceutical companies and any other entities deemed a threat or has done harm to we the people. Please act responsibly. No violence, no smashing things up. Keep everything in pristine shape, and we can sell those properties and equipment to fund the new projects for and by the people. And this is now a great opportunity for the people to come together as one on a mass scale. No matter which country this tyranny is unfolding, all people must act. We cannot carry on ignoring the plight of others, as one day you will be that plight of others. History is now in the making, as we are about to write a whole new and exciting chapter in our story. There will be casualties, there always is in any war, but we will prevail against the dark forces and their pathetic minions. It is the unhooking of the loops, the collapsing of the part inorganic old world, and the emergence of a new real world for those who are ready. It will bring an end to global tyranny, an end to perpetual wars, an end to an agenda of death and sickness ran on the people, an end to the harvesting, an end to the child abuses of various formats, and a rising of a new humanity filled with hope, unity, love, fearlessness, creativity, and a togetherness not witnessed between the people here for a very long time. Let us not let the children suffer the consequences of your compliance. Everything we ever wanted is on the other side of the fear. No more his story. It's time to make our story. Right, we'll get into the news portion of the show. And this is two things that have been sent in by the members. Kind of warn them what's going on. And I get loads of these during the week. And some I put in the show and some I keep hold of. But these two was, I was told by a friend that the lakes and waters of northern Ontario, Canada, are being drained to the ocean and are already down by about 2 feet. And this is probably going on elsewhere, the person said, as well, in an effort to destroy forests and food production and living conditions, which the latter part may echo that Canadian government document. Another member wrote on the Spreaker chat, just after I listened to the segment where you announced that the Fed will promote digital wallets, and we all know where that came from, which will be available at the local post office in an effort to help the unbanked. My local paper this morning revealed that the post office will now provide check cashing at its branches to everyone. But there's a caveat, and there always is. No cash. Instead, you get a Visa card. I couldn't believe it, the person said. And they claim it's because the check cashers charge too much. But since when does the Fed care about that? And it also made me wonder if this isn't part of the shipping problem. Indeed. A heads up, as new skullduggery is ongoing with the internet, as the clowns desperately try to stall, stop or ban evidence of their complicity in criminal acts against we the people. Now, sometime last year, Firefox started to flag sites saying security key issues, warning to not go on that site, but you could get back past that by clicking advance and proceed regardless. But this week, they are using a new tactic. Every time I go to do a research, funny that, isn't it? Up pops the same security key warning. But as I proceeded as normal, except now it doesn't go to the page requested and doubles back to the search engine. utterly pathetic. And proves again we are over the target. Nice try, Firefox, but it won't stop me exposing you and other clans. But here's another example of it. Our friends Go Ogle, up to no good again. And so we're going to expose that as well. Now, there are many non-English speaking people around the world who listen to this show, and many others, who have become interested in the alt media narrative, and they are transcribing shows and blogs into their own languages. And it's all good stuff. Except Go Ogle, which is the most common used translator, are not transcribing the words correctly and twisting the narrative. And many are transcribing COVID-related stuff, and Go Ogle are twisting negative comments about COVID into positive comments supporting the vaccines. Oops. We caught you again. Yet again, utter shameful tactics, and proves if you have to lie and cheat about something, you are covering something up. And that something is the truth. Firefox and Go Ogle exposed again. We ran a story last week about Marine Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, the outspoken Marine who went viral for questioning the nation's top military leaders, or clowns, amid a chaotic exit from Afghanistan. And on the show last week, we asked for his release and fellow officers and veterans' support. We're pleased to announce he was released from the brig on Tuesday. This was an interesting headline that caused consternation in the UK. And is this a revealing line? And a BBC row erupts as Boris Johnson & Johnson slaps down the new minister, Nadine Dorries, after she made claims over 10 years to live. That's what she said. Now, it turns out Dorries was talking about the BBC still existing. But it eerily echoes the plight of the jabbed, does it not? Why even say that? And this smacks of telling you in cryptic code ways to me, subconscious spellcasting, of which they are all too prolific at. Exposed again. I saw more evidence this week of what I call clever activism. Marching on governments is absolutely pointless. If it did, then all the marches in the past would have had an effect. They didn't. But the people of the UK, following a recent march surrounded the BBC, have followed up with marching on the Bill and Melinda Foundation building in London. The next step I would advise is to stand outside their homes. until they step down. Message for Australians. Find out where Professor David Hayward and his family live and annoy the hell out of them. Why? Because that jackass is requiring or requesting a tax just for the unvaccinated. Remember, these people have no security and would be terrified if loads of people turn up at their door, letting them know, we the people do not accept you in our communities. And once again, no violence, throwing things or shouting obscenities. Your mere presence there will be enough to unnerve them. Professor David Hayward. Time you targeted him.
You suck, you jackass.
The FDA, mired in the COVID scam and many other things. Aspartam, remember that? Rumsfeld. But on Monday, they urged Americans to avoid a potentially harmful brand of hand sanitizer. Well, I never. And the warning stated that unacceptable levels of certain carcinogenic chemicals have been found in samples of scent-free hand sanitizer produced by the company Art Naturals. And the chemicals in question are benzene, acetaldehyde and acetyl contaminants, turned up in bottles marked as DIST by Art Naturals Gardenia, California. I don't suppose anybody would charge the FDA for approving the actual product in the first place. Suppose not. Of course, Canada had a fake election recently, and some people voted for them. But this is what the Canadian people allegedly voted for. Crassly insensitive, out of touch with the people in reality, and it is classic I don't give a Fauci about the people. Now, the Crime Minister, Justin Trudeau, has been criticised for leaving on vacation during Canada's first National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. And the new federal holiday honours the thousands of Indigenous children who were forcefully assimilated in Canada's state-backed residential school system. Assimilated is one way to describe it. Mass culling, abuse, torture, mind control experiments and sexual abuse is the real term I would use. Just saying. But Mr. Trudeau's daily schedule had indicated he would spend the day in private meetings in the capital, Ottawa. Instead, he was spotted with his family on the beach at Tofino, British Columbia. That's how much he cares about the truth and the children in the Canadian schools. Andrew Yin and Yang is the next one to focus on. And the article said he may not have won the presidential election. He was involved in a fake election between Trump and Biden. And it wasn't the only fake election. There's been fake elections in this country since 1871. But he credits his campaign with moving the country towards the inevitable implementation of, here we go, a universal basic income program in the United States. Oh dear, Yang, you're as bad as the Yin with that statement. And yes, again, it's the classic sleight of hand, as Yang is portrayed as a nice alternative, yet spouts the same clown-based programs as the rest of them. Now, Yang has become synonymous with universal basic income and initially sought to focus his presidential campaign around the concept, not himself. Yes, but it's all scripted. Now, this was once said to be a fringe theory. not a conspiracy theory, a fringe theory. And the possibility of the government sending monthly payments to Americans has gained traction, especially among young people, and was a main attractor of people to Yang's campaign. Yes, young people who have no clue of what it all entails, the dangers or the damage it would cause them, a lifetime of dire servitude and control is what you're asking for. And he said, most people agree that we succeed in putting universal basic income, once considered a quixotic idea, onto the national political radar, Yang wrote in his book Forward. No, it's paying it back. And most people are obsessed by this, and this is the big problem. Their new god is money. Then yes, Mr. Yang, but some of us see through your illusion games. And he said, by raising the profile of universal basic income and focusing on issues like automation, oh really, we had accelerated the end of poverty in our society years, perhaps even generations. Yes, the automation game. Replace us all with bots and here have some fresh air tokens in exchange, whilst we figure out more ways to delete you. That's the gist of it. If you don't believe me, go and listen to the clowns and panic. It's 3 years ago. I was warned then. And in August 2020, a Pew Research poll found only a slim majority of Americans, adults, which is debatable. There's not many adults in any country, not just Americans, oppose a nationwide universal basic income program. However, a majority of young people aged 18 to 29 would support the program that issued $1,000 monthly payments to every citizen, citizen being the operative word, as did the majority of black and Hispanic people polled. Oh, how easily the people are fooled. Just flash pieces of paper with numbers on, and the mass psychosis unfolds, it seems. For those of you who still think Donald Trump is not part of the establishment, perhaps you may wish to reconsider after his latest interview last week. The former president has revealed he got the Pfizer COVID vaccine before leaving office and that he may get a booster shot if he thinks it is necessary. Now, Trump had not previously announced which vaccine he had received, and he and then First Lady Melania got the shot in January before Trump left office, but did not reveal he had been vaccinated until March. Wonder why. Well, his revelation that he would be willing to get a booster came despite him telling supporters last month that he probably wouldn't get the third shot. Flip-flop, where's the name? Cosmic Voice Show. And in an interview with Yahoo Finance Live published Saturday, Trump said, well, I got the Pfizer and I would have been happy with any of them. Trump, now pro-vaccine? Remember, it was Trump who led us into lockdowns despite knowing it was fake. He had all the evidence. He was given the clearance to see all the evidence. And it was also Trump, you remember, who kicked off the American vaccine program, which has injured hundreds of thousands, if not, in fact, it's over a million now, and killed hundreds of thousands. Even his former puppet, the trustee, can see that now. This is a report that has come in from South Africa. And I do suspect that some of the work that Kim and the team did on that continent has had a big effect. And the African people are waking up quickly as to what is really going on. Now, remember the Ghanaian president referenced part of our expose show to all African leaders in June of last year. And maybe that plays a part, plus some of the financial details that Kim had gave them back in 2018 and 19, that may have implemented some certain actions that facilitated this article. And he said, this is the biggest case in the world right now. Not only are the people of South Africa seeking a ruling to hold their president and parliament liable for the damages inflicted by the globalist COVID crime against humanity, but they are also seeking a ruling that will liquidate their central bank in order to pay damages suffered by the people. And where South Africa goes, so does the entire continent, it says. Now, their real central bank, not the one with the name central bank, is actually Citibank, a fake central bank. And they said this victory will free the people from the debt slavery imposed by the central bank fiat currency system, establish a gold-backed dollar, eliminate corrupt political parties, and establish Africa as the home base from which to begin the Nuremberg 2.0 trials for the crimes against humanity that has been inflicted upon the entire world. This could be the big breakthrough event, they said, that the world has been praying for. Now, if the South African Constitutional Court was completely corrupted, as the rest of the world, they said, this case would never have gotten to where it is. And they asked everyone to please share it, because this is the ruling that will break the back of the New World Order. All good stuff, and we all hope that they succeed. But word of warning, be aware of the snakes in place to jeopardise or derail it. In particular, UN employees backed by IMF and World Bank goons. Here is a story about a brave woman who got up and spoke out about heinous criminal acts done by UK politicians against children. And her name is Melanie Shaw. Now, Melanie blew the whistle on sexual abuse at Nottingham's Beechwood Children's Homes in the 1980s. And she alleges that politicians, including Tory cabinet ministers, were amongst the clients of a child abuse brothel, where she and other children under state care were abused and also murdered. Now, she was arrested by the police, tried in a secret court hearing on unknown charges, where the records have been kept secret, and sentenced to 2 years in prison, where she has been kept in solitary confinement. And in effect, she's been silenced not by the powerful, but the cowardly scumbags who stifled truth to cover up heinous acts by so-called famous people. And I'm asking the people of the UK to absolutely bombard the prison desk day and night and let them know we the people will not tolerate this behaviour or the cover-up of heinous crimes against the children. Clever activism. You know, Lieutenant Colonel Scheller was let out. Why? Because people made highlights of it. Well, I'm asking you to make highlights of Melanie Shaw. Find out where she's been held and bombard the prison and your politicians. Let her out now or we're going to cause a scene. But this story echoes the Dunblane School in Scotland, which involved the Scottish Rite Masons. Yes, you know who you are. And we also know who you're covering up for. The same thing was happening there. And then they got a Manchurian candidate to shoot up the school and kill the children who had spoken out and picked out the politicians. But guess who survived and went on to become a known superstar from that event? Andrew Murray. There are no coincidences, it seems. Here comes the backtracking and the new spin story, after the story started to escalate out of their control. And there was a moment in Tuesday's Senate hearing on the withdrawal from Afghanistan when it became clear, they said, clear as mud, why Maskman Biden decided to get the troops out of there as quickly as possible. And it came when General Mark Milley, Mr. Treasonous himself, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, explained why he and the other chiefs, the top officers of the Army, Air Force, Navy and Marines, all agreed that we needed to pull out by August 31st. And the Doha agreement, which Trump had signed with the Taliban in early 2020, with no participation by the Afghan government, required a total withdrawal of foreign forces. He signed an agreement with the Taliban, with no participation by the Afghan government, which means Trump was working with the rogue elements of the CIA then. And Milley said if US troops had stayed beyond August, the Taliban would have resumed the fighting. And in order to stave off the attacks, we would have needed 30,000 troops and would have suffered many casualties. What a steaming pile of shit that is. Sorry, but it is. There was no attacks, as the CIA had agreed prior to the troop withdrawal, apart from the staged event and the subsequent fake intelligence guy in the car who was just getting water for his family. And yet, as Marley also testified on Tuesday, he, the chiefs, the Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and other military officers advised Biden to keep 2,500 US troops in Afghanistan beyond the August 31st deadline. And they said, but the difference is that those troops wouldn't be attached to any military mission. Instead, they would transition to a diplomatic mission. Yet more hogwash. And here's why. They've been telling the people, who are stupid enough to not only listen, but believe their bullshit, that billions of our dollars have been used to train Afghan military and police to defend themselves. Are they saying, after all that expenditure, the Afghans couldn't safely remove the rest of the troops and the people without incident? Is that what they're saying? Because that means the military trainers have wasted all of our money, of which those involved should be held accountable for. But I won't be holding me breath. Jackasses. Here's another example of how fake the narrative of China is the enemy. The Defense Department's reliance on Chinese supply chains for pharmaceuticals poses a severe national security risk, according to the Pentagon Inspector General. Then why are they buying them in the first place? Sorry about that. I had a bout of common sense again. I'll have to visit a doctor someday. Like never. The US military's ability to treat soldiers and personnel worldwide relies on products made and shipped in foreign countries. Does anyone think that's a bit odd? And the Pentagon does not produce its own pharmaceuticals. No, it just produces retards. And so it relies on the American commercial sector to procure vital medicines for the armed forces. And as the commercial sector increases its reliance on foreign countries, the department follows suit, according to the report. And pharmaceutical supply disruptions could compromise the standard of care to defense department beneficiaries, the report concludes. And a disruption of the supply of foreign-made active pharmaceutical ingredients to domestic manufacturers could cause a drug shortage that affects every level of the US healthcare system. Fear, 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 fear. Here's a solution, which they seem incapable of. Perhaps if the clowns at Fort Detrick, among others who run pharmaceutical research centres on behalf of treating their soldiers, instead of polluting them and killing many of them, there would be no need for foreign treatments or drugs. Ooh, there I go again, common sense. Well, I never. Now, some 72% of commercial pharmaceuticals are procured from foreign countries and 13% comes from China, according to the FDA study. And during the early stages of the coronavirus pandemic, China threatened to withhold life-saving drugs from American citizens over the growing rift between Washington and Beijing. Blame China. Blame Russia. No. The Pentagon was the one who was withholding the life-saving drugs and PPEs, along with Kushner and FEMA. Not China. Oops. And China's ability to weaponize public health does not end with pharmaceuticals or the coronavirus, they say. Pot, kettle and black springs to mind there. A national intelligence assessment found that the Chinese Communist Party uses American medical data to collect the DNA of US citizens. China may aim to use the data to target Americans for surveillance or manipulation purposes. Pot, kettle and black again. Accusing others of doing what they're doing. And the Inspector General report calls for lawmakers to pursue remedies for the Pentagon's reliance on Chinese goods. And we recommend that the Under Secretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment develop and issue implementing guidance for Department of Defense supply chain risk management for defense material, which includes pharmaceuticals, and also to pursue federal legislation requiring pharmaceutical manufacturers to include active pharmaceutical ingredients and final drug product country of origin information of the pharmaceuticals lot on the pharmaceuticals package, the report says. And they've only just realised this now? Why wasn't this already in place? Faulty intelligence again? Well, I never. It boggles the mind at the levels of stupidity. House Democrats, or Democrats, on Wednesday introduced a measure in the 2022 defense budget to eliminate the Space Force. Ooh. And Jared Huffman led a resolution co-signed by fellow Democratic representatives Rashida Tlaib, Maxine Waters, Mark Pocan, Jesus Garcia, to abolish America's newest military branch. And the measure received support from the Koch-funded National Taxpayers Union and the radical anti-war groups such as Peace Action and Demand Progress. Now, since its creation under the former Trump administration, the Space Force has threatened long-standing peace and fragrantly wasted billions of tax dollars, said Huffman. Oh my God, did he actually say that with a straight face? What about all the other branches of US military have done for the past 70 plus years? Haven't they threatened long-standing peace and wasted billions, if not trillions, of our tax dollars? Why just blame the newest one? And he said, it's time we turn our attention back to where it belongs, addressing urgent domestic and international priorities like battling COVID-19, climate change, well, I never, and growing economic inequality. Except COVID and climate change are as fake as the US military's action as peacekeepers. Sorry. And he went on, our mission must be to support the American people, indeed, not spend billions on the militarization of space. And Huffman and his allies are far left, whatever that means, on the vital issues of defense spending. And Pocan in March proposed a major cut to the defense budget, but fellow Democratic caucus members shot it down. And national security officials and experts have called Maskman Biden proposed defense budget insufficient to meet the challenges posed by Russia and China. They're all so predictable. The only threat posed by Russia and China is to the child-level generals and other top goons who just generate fear to collect more shekels. That's how it works. Now, the House Armed Services Committee this month approved Republicans and some moderate Democrat plans to increase the Biden defense budget by $24 billion. And the push to defund the Space Force comes as China is increasingly threatening the United States. Really. And the Secretary of the Air Force, Frank Kendall, said Monday that China is developing means to bombard American targets from space. Ooh. Let's all shit our pants. And China has launched satellites. Obviously, America hasn't. And a space station. Haven't the Americans launched one of them? Which, quote, and this is the Secretary of the Air Force, says, this is threatening American dominance in space. Unquote. Just how childlike does that sound? They're threatening Americans' dominance in space. It's just unbelievable, the thinking level of these people. And these are in charge. I wouldn't put them in charge of the kindergarten because the kids have more intelligence than these clowns. And they said, we've done simulated war drills that show Beijing would likely exploit American vulnerabilities in space as a first move in a takeover of Taiwan. If China takes over Taiwan, what has that got to do with America? Anyone tell me? Taiwan is officially known as the Republic of China, not America. And it's located in the South China Sea, not the South American Sea. So what has that got to do with the US military? and it's time they go and defend their own people and stop interfering in other countries and destabilizing them, all to maintain the illusion America is the greatest and bestest. I'm sorry, but it's not. But it can be in the right ways that doesn't involve warmongering. We're off to Gotham now, and the Gotham representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was roasted this week after issuing a long press release to explain why she didn't vote no on a bill to fund Israel's anti-missile shield, which doesn't work. Have I told you that? It doesn't work. Well, I never. Calling herself a victim of unjust procedures and having changed her no vote to present at the last minute on the $1 billion bill to replenish Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system the day prior, AOC took to Twitter on Friday with a vast 900-word missive attempting to justify the move to her constituents. And while she stated the bill should have been opposed, she went on to argue that it was brought to the House floor through a, quote, a deeply unjust and reckless legislative process, unquote. And she said, to those I have disappointed, I'm deeply sorry. To those who believe this reasoning is insufficient or cowardice, I understand. And addressing the incident, AOC claimed that she wept at the complete lack of care for the human beings that are impacted by these decisions, as well as at an institution choosing a path of maximum volatility and minimum consideration for its own political convenience. Hear, hear. Now, Ocasio-Cortez further pointed out that the legislation was rushed through the chamber without any of the usually necessary committee debate, markup, or regular order. Just sails through. And the reckless decision by House leadership to rush through this controversial vote within a matter of hours and without true consideration has created a tinderbox of vitriol, disingenuous framing, deeply racist accusations and depictions, and a lack of substantive discussion on this matter. Now, whilst this show has criticised her in the past, I've always said I will speak up for those that say the right things. Doesn't matter about the personality. Are they saying the right things? And this flagrant interference by the Israeli junta and supported by cowardly politicians has to stop for this country to ever get back on its feet again. And the ongoing looting of our funds to pay for this criminal organisation is a blight on this country and its people. They not only loot our funds, they steal our ideas, patents, spy on all Americans, and create our reckless and murderous foreign policies, and America and Americans take the blame for it. Whilst they sit laughing at our own stupidity and the ease at which we roll over and take it. But if you're a so-called patriot, where are you on this matter? Where are you? Why is hardly anyone outside of William Jezik and this show and SOTT.net paying it any attention? Are all the alt media bought and paid for by AIPAC, the Jewish lobbyists, and the Israeli junta? One has to ask, because I see no one addressing this issue, including a show not too far from here. It's all about the Cabal, the Illuminati, the Black Sun and the Rothschilds, who, like Soros, are both Jews. And it's time we quit cowering in fear and hiding behind the anti-Semitism meme and grow some balls and fight back. They are few, we are many. With no end in sight, the semiconductor chip shortage is now expected to cost the global auto industry $210 billion in revenue just this year alone. And the forecast is almost double its previous projection of $110 billion in May. Now, the New York-based firm released an initial forecast of $60.6 billion losses in late January, when the parts problem started causing automakers to cut production at plants. And they said, of course, everyone had hoped that the chip crisis would have abated more by now, but unfortunate events such as the COVID-19 lockdowns in Malaysia and continued problems elsewhere has exacerbated things, according to Mark Wakefield, who is the global co-leader of the automotive and industrial practice at Alex Partners. And Alex Partners is now forecasting that 7.7 million units of production will be lost in 2021, up from 3.9 million in its May forecast. And the second quarter of this year is still the worst of chip shortages so far in terms of lost vehicles. But what's changed is that the auto industry globally simply hasn't recovered as quickly as we thought when we did our forecast back in May due to unforeseen things since then, like the rise of the Delta variant and the COVID breakouts in Malaysia and other Southeast Asian countries. Except where's the evidence? And automakers across the globe, including Ford and General Motors, clowns, had warned of massive earning cuts this year due to the chip shortage. All deliberate. But some, if not much, of those losses have been offset by resilient consumer demand and higher profits from record vehicle prices. And people still buy them. Alex Partners expects the parts problem to continue into at least the second quarter of next year. I think we all know where the chips went, into the techno jabs. But there are other considerations to ponder on over this event. One, if they are enforcing some global martial law, then travel will be restricted, like mentioned in the Canada piece. Two, new cars will have the ultimate in spying techniques being all electronic, where they will monitor absolutely everything. Why do you think Progressive offered people those little gadgets to monitor your driving, under the pretense you will get cheaper insurance? No, it was a tester. And three, if there is less people, means less need for cars. Who's going to drive you home then? That song applies to last Saturday's show reference as well. Right, we're going to add a short new section to this show. Climate BS, to go with COVID BS. And the stars, more like vacuous cretins if you ask me, Billie Eilish, or Eilish, or whatever, clown anyway, and Ed Sheeran are taking part in a 24-hour concert to raise awareness of climate change, vaccine inequality and famine. Oh, here we go again. like Live Aid. And the Global Citizen Festival will see performances from more than 60 artists in New York, London, Sydney and beyond. And tens of thousands of people are expected to attend. Why? While millions are likely to tune into the broadcast, and the event kicked off on Saturday in Paris, where Elton John performed in front of the Eiffel Tower. He sort of stuck it up as Jaxi, personally. Following a pre-recorded performance by the K-pop band BTS. And the show believed to be one of the biggest ever international charity events, and we all know what that means, was organised by the non-governmental organisation, NGO, Global Citizen. Global Citizen is part of the UN. Oops. And proponents of this philosophy often point to Diogenes of Sinope as an example, given his reported declaration that I am a citizen of the world in response to a question about his place of origin. But a Tamil term, Yadum Ure Yavarum Kelia, has the meaning of the world is one family. And the statement's not just about peace and harmony, they say, among the societies in the world, but also a truth that somehow the world, the whole world, has to live together like a family. And it all sounds so lovely and nice. But so did the New Age culture. And many have recently found out what a load of bollocks that is. The world is one family is our goal, it says, but with Agenda 2030 being ran by the UN, does the term one family have other connotations? Which family? Hebrew Anunnaki? Or does the term one have other connotations, like one government, one currency and one religion spring to mind? And he said across six continents, artists will help rally citizens in demanding that governments, major corporations and philanthropists work together to defend the planet and defeat poverty. Yeah, right. And he called on international governments to plant 1 billion trees, deliver 1 billion vaccines to the poorest countries and donate meals for 41 million people on the brink of famine. Just 41 million? Surely they jest. The people have been calling on the governments and the UN to fix the food crisis for many decades. What makes you think they will do so now? Live Aid was the mid-1980s. Near 40 years later, the people are still starving. And so it accomplished nothing. Why? Because it wasn't meant to. And people have lost their mind if you think governments or the UN will fix anything. The last 80 years of addressing or delivering nothing tells you that. Holly and Michelle, please post the picture. But in reality, what they've done here is take an alt media concept and twist it into another control system. Don't believe me? Look at their logo. Global Citizen. A man in a cage. More climate BS. And this is a loop story if ever there was one. The Environmental Protection Agency is sharply curbing the use and production of hydrofluorocarbons, the climate warming chemicals widely used in air conditioning and refrigeration. And the move is the masked man's first major regulatory action to reduce domestic greenhouse gas emissions. He needs to learn to reduce his bowels coming out of his mouth, if you ask me. They say it's the first time the federal government has set national standards on hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs, which are thousands of times more potent than carbon dioxide at heating up the planet. But does anyone remember? They were talking about this in the last century. They were discussing this when I was back in the UK, which is pre-2002. Why has it been rolled back out now like a loop? And the EPA said the rule could avoid up to half of a degree Celsius of global warming by the end of the century. The EPA says it will reduce temperatures by half a degree in 79 years. Yet nature has reduced the global temperature of the planet by 0.7 Celsius in just the past 5 years. Without discussions, debates, red tape, or thieving money from the people under false pretenses. Oops. And the agency will begin regulating the chemicals next year and will force industry to curb production and imports by 85% over the next 15 years. Well, that can be a good thing, because that would make every country self-sufficient. Then we can have a proper government. And the EPA proposed the rule in March and will finalise it on Thursday, they said. And the agency's rule is expected to reduce the equivalent of 4.7 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide by mid-century, or roughly 3 years worth of emissions from a country's power sector at 2019 levels, according to estimates from the EPA. Here's the common sense question again. Does anyone ask why the EPA allowed those practices in the first place? Or why they are not made accountable for said oversight? COVID BS. If ever there was any doubt of the complicity of pharma groups of committing crimes against humanity previously, this is it. Some of America's biggest pharmacy chains have gone on trial this week for the first time, accused of fueling the country's opioids epidemic. Walgreens Boots Alliance, CVS, Walmart, and Giant Eagle deny failing to stop excessive amounts of addictive prescription painkillers being sold in two Ohio counties. I nearly said Iowa then. Ohio counties. And if found liable, they could face a wave of litigation and billions of dollars in compensation, not to mention serious reputational damage. And more than 3,300 similar cases have been brought, largely by US state and local governments. And they seek to hold the companies responsible for an opioid epidemic that led to nearly 500,000 overdose deaths from 1999 to 2019. 2019, COVID-19. Different version of committing crimes. As the opioid goes out, in comes the techno jabs. Good news from Guatemala. We don't often cover that country, but here's a good piece. A group of anti-vaccine villagers held a team of nurses hostage for several hours on Monday after the healthcare workers arrived to administer techno jabs. And the team was held up for about 7 hours in the village of Nahulia, which is north of Guatemala City. And the villagers blocked the road and later let the air out of their tires. And a cooler and about 50 doses of vaccines were destroyed in the incident as well. And police and local officials later negotiated their release. Good stuff. Here comes the media spin again, and this is laughable in the extreme, and how desperate they are to stem the tide. The US Department of Health and Human Services announced on Tuesday that a new agency report showed COVID-19 vaccinations may have helped to prevent more than 250,000 coronavirus cases and tens of thousands of deaths among seniors. Try telling that to the millions who have suffered and the hundreds of thousands who have died in nursing homes and hospitals because of the vaccines. Sheer desperation. And if you wish to argue that the reason the vaccinated account for the majority of COVID-19 deaths is because the majority of the population are vaccinated, which is twisted logic, because we were told the vaccines will prevent cases and deaths. But there's only one problem with that. The figures and the facts don't support it. COVID-19 deaths are 11 times higher than this time last year, when there wasn't a COVID-19 vaccine available that allegedly reduces the risk of death due to COVID-19 by 95%. And this is the predicament in the United Kingdom right now, as between August 23rd, 2020 and September 19, 2020, there were allegedly 275 deaths recorded. 275, just. That were associated with COVID-19. And by associated, we mean that they died within 28 days of testing positive for the virus. The time restrictions again. However, fast forward precisely 1 year, and between August 23rd, 2021 and September 19th, 2021, there were allegedly 3,125 deaths associated with COVID-19, up from 275. And the vast majority of those deaths were people who had been fully vaccinated. This is just in the UK. And what that represents is a 1,036% increase in the number of deaths associated with COVID-19 on the previous year, meaning COVID deaths are currently 11.3 times higher than the same period in 2020, despite 80% of the UK population allegedly now having had the vaccine. It's nowhere near 80%. And having summer on our side as well to keep all the respiratory viruses at bay. Imagine if it goes into a dark winter. And the Public Health England's latest COVID-19 vaccine surveillance report, which was published on the 23rd of September, also shows that the majority of COVID-19 cases between the 23rd of August and 19th of September this year have been recorded amongst the fully vaccinated population, with 277,474 cases being recorded over a period of just 4 weeks. And here is the damning proof of the quote, vaccines, unquote, are causing, quote, COVID, unquote. Because neither are what is described by doctors, television, or politicians. They all lie. These are their very own figures based in America. September the 7th, 2020, number of COVID cases, 25,166. Number of vaccinated, zero. September the 7th, 2021, number of cases, 301,138. Number of vaccinated, allegedly 177 million. And you're told it was going to save you.
Nope.
This is an extract of an attorney who's going after the criminal medical clowns. And he said they are lying. There is no question they are lying, according to the medical freedom rights attorney Thomas Renz. And the mantra of safe and effective must stop, he said, after today's information. And a whistleblower has provided government data documenting 48,465 deaths within 14 days of a COVID-19 vaccination amongst just the Medicare patients alone. 48,500 deaths in 2 weeks. Just amongst the Medicare patients. And the announcement Saturday was made by the Ohio-based attorney who remains involved in several major cases brought against federal agencies relating to fraud and violations of medical freedom rights. And in his presentation, Renz expressed his appreciation for whistleblowers who are coming forward to provide the public with such important information from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Service. And he described the CMS database as the largest available in the US for the study of COVID-19 trends because it contains the data of approximately 59.4 million Medicare beneficiaries. And one slide showed that the number of persons who died within 14 days of a COVID-19 vaccine equated to 19,400 for those younger than 81 years old and 28,065 for those 81 and over, totaling 48,465 deaths. And he said, this is raw data. There is no analysis. And he emphasized these death numbers are from less than 20% of the US population. And he said, do you want to know why 14 days is important? He asked. Listen closely. Because if you die within 14 days, you're not considered vaccinated. And according to the CDC, one is not considered as being vaccinated until 14 days after their completed injection regimen, raising the question of whether government authorities have been classifying these fatalities as something other than vaccination-related deaths. The classic 14 days again, better known as 2 weeks. I told you all along, it is in part a mind control program. So let's get this right from their perspective, shall we, and see if it makes sense. You have to get the jab to prevent getting COVID. But if you are jabbed, you can still get COVID. The unvaccinated are irresponsible and are at risk of getting COVID, but can get COVID by being in contact with a person who is vaccinated against COVID. And now they tell you being vaccinated does not count as being vaccinated until 2 weeks has passed. Donald Rumsfeld and his word salads is nothing compared to these medical clowns and politicians. They're running a lunatic asylum in their world, clearly. Let's repeat that again so it sinks in. You have to get the jab to prevent getting COVID, but if you're jabbed, you can still get COVID. The unvaccinated are irresponsible and are at risk of getting COVID, but can get COVID by being in contact with a person who is vaccinated against COVID. And now they tell you being vaccinated doesn't count as being vaccinated until 2 weeks has passed. Hello, McFly, anybody home? To jackasses. Now, the most recent data from the CDC's VAERS system released last Friday reveals reports of 726,965 adverse events in the US following vaccination, including 15,386 reports of death and 99,410 reports of serious injuries between December 14, 2020 and September 17, 2021. And yet the presumption of significantly higher real numbers is supported by a 2010 Harvard Pilgrim study, which found that fewer than 1% of vaccine injuries are reported on the VAERS system. And in addition, even vaccine manufacturers have calculated at least a 50-fold underreporting of adverse events on this system. 50-fold. And so what that reveals is, if correct, is the 727,000 adverse effects is only 1%. Then the real figure for adverse effects is 72.7 million. And if the deaths are recorded at only 1%, then the real figure of deaths is 1.538 million. And remember, these are not COVID deaths and injury figures. These are just vaccine deaths and injuries only. And further, a recent whistleblower report from Project Veritas reveals medical personnel in federal hospitals confirming the presence of many patients suffering from COVID vaccine injuries, and nobody is reporting them to the VAERS system. Oops. And Wren's also provided evidence affirming that the FDA has been using this same CMS data to monitor different types of adverse reactions to the injections in near real time, even while these government agencies and the media continue to repeat that this gene-based vaccine is safe and effective. Boom. As tens of thousands of unvaccinated New York healthcare workers were set to be fired on Monday once the state's COVID-19 vaccination neo-Nazi Zionist psychopath deadline kicks in, The governor, Kathy Hochul, has a plan for a potential staffing shortage. Ooh. I wonder what she'll plan. A statewide state of emergency. 94,000 workers are unvaccinated, leaving a potentially dire shortfall in workers from Monday onwards. And many who refuse to get the shot have argued it violates their personal freedoms. And the state data shows that 84% of the state's 450,000 hospital workers are vaccinated, along with 83% of its 145,400 nursing home care workers. It's funny both of those figures are close to 85%, is it not? In Buffalo, the Erie County Medical Center plans to suspend elective inpatient surgeries and not take intensive care patients from other hospitals because it may soon fire about 400 employees who have chosen not to get jabbed against the fake virus. So these word salad clowns, who also don't understand what they're actually saying. And so their solution to having a staff shortage is to fire 400 more. Okay.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with flying fish.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
And while the vast majority of staff members at New York City's largest private hospital network, New York Presbyterian, has been vaccinated of this week, more than 200 employees faced termination because they had not. And in New York City, healthcare workers are not the only ones who face an imminent deadline to be vaccinated or face termination. Interesting name, no? And a requirement that virtually everyone working in the public schools, well over 150,000, be vaccinated takes effect at midnight on Monday. And New York's largest private healthcare provider has fired 1,400 employees who refused to get the vaccine for the fake COVID-19 on Monday. Well, the deadline passed and they fired them. What a smart-based Zionist fascism move that was. That will cost the lives of more New York people due to jackasses with zero common sense and an inability to think correctly or sensibly. The people of New York need to go after these heads, all of them. Go and stand outside their door and call them out. There's another clown with a fake name, Bill de Blasio, has been temporarily blocked from enforcing the vaccine mandate for nearly all adults in public school buildings after a federal appeals court granted a temporary injunction on Friday. And the city officials said they expect the mandate will ultimately be upheld, but it is not clear if the issue will be resolved before the Monday deadline. Now, although about 90% of the system's educators and 80% of support staff members have gotten at least one shot, thousands of workers have not, and that could cause staff shortages in some schools. Well, you should have thought of that before implementing Zionist fascist policies. All people, groups or organizations who are implementing these mandates should be fired on the spot for crimes against humanity. Period. Get their names, document them, find out where they live, or bombard their work switchboard. get in their face. Further evidence of vaccinated infections occurred at Duke University, where an outbreak of 364 cases of the virus, only 8 were unvaccinated. Oops. And that's 97.8% of positive cases of coronavirus at Duke University were the vaccinated. And the first week of classes, 304 undergraduates, 45 graduate students and 15 employees all tested positive for COVID-19. And all but 8 of these individuals were vaccinated, and the vast majority of them are asymptomatic. A small number have minor cold and, well, I never, flu-like symptoms, and none have been hospitalised according to the university. They're not very bright at that university, are they? 97.8% of people with COVID have had the vaccine, and they don't go, I wonder how that works. If you've got a child in Duke University, pull that child out, because they're never going to learn anything. And a new study authored by several scientists from EcoHealth Alliance, the controversial organisation collaborating on bat coronavirus research, with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, including Peter Daszak, is funded by Anthony Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Of course, we covered this in the summer of last year. But other people are now looking into it as well, which is good stuff. But the publication of the study, A Strategy to Assess Spillover Risk of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses in Southeast Asia, follows intense scrutiny over Fauci's National Institute of Health agency sending taxpayer dollars to fund the Daszak-led group, long-time collaboration with the Wuhan Institute. And both Daszak and Fauci have lied about the type of research occurring at the Chinese Communist Party-run lab, as a host of Fauci emails obtained via the Freedom of Information Act reveal that the facility was carrying out gain-of-function research. Again, we covered that last summer in the exposé series. And the deleted articles reveal the lab worked with live bats, despite Daszak stating otherwise. Now, Daszak, who failed to disclose his extensive ties to the Wuhan lab and the CCP, was also recused from the Lancet Medical Journal's COVID-19 Commission. And despite this, Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases is still funding EcoHealth Alliance. Still funding. Which has also taken massive six-figure paycheck protection program loans. I don't suppose they'll be paying that back. And the study, which is currently in preprint, counts 6 EcoHealth Alliance researchers as authors, in addition to Lin Fa Wang, who is also a long-time collaborator of the Wuhan lab and has been listed as an author on several Fauci-funded studies that focuses on bat coronaviruses. And the study's abstract posits that COVID-19 likely has a bat origin. Bat origin. Dark Elves, Batman, Gotham. Summarising its conclusion that the bat SARS-related coronavirus infection happens more frequent than previously recognised. course it happens more frequent. You just go get retarded mainstream media, retarded politicians, retarded medical people, all talking about it at the same time. And emerging diseases caused by coronaviruses of likely bat origin, for example, SARS, MERS, SADS and COVID-19 have disrupted global health and economies for the last 2 decades. And evidence suggests that some bat SARS-related coronaviruses could infect people directly and that their spillover is more frequent than previously recognised. And each zoonotic spillover of a novel virus represents an opportunity for evolutionary adaptation and further spread. Therefore, quantifying the extent of this hidden spillover may help target prevention programs. The simple solution for prevention programs is shut down all these research centers and virology labs, because they're all working for weapon purposes. None of it's to improve the health of the people. Now, an average of 400,000 such infections occur each year, most going unrecognized because they cause mild or no symptoms and aren't easily transmitted between people, the study adds. And like I said, the problem is all the psychopaths run these research centres and have zero oversight of what they have done or what they're up to. And if that is not a national security issue, then I don't know what is. One thing that may have gone unnoticed in alt media circles is, and you can check it yourself, all these reports on COVID is now being written in all capital letters, which is a variant, pardon the pun, from the original. All capital letters means the entity attached to the name is classed as dead. Ponder on that. Now, this was sent in by one of the members, and I'm not going to fully endorse it, but I'm going to read it out. They are said to be the top 5 recommended substances that might mitigate some damage from mRNA vaccines in no particular order. Number 1, iodine. An essential mineral, iodine is used by the thyroid gland to make thyroid hormones that control many functions in the body, including growth and development, repairing damaged cells and supporting a healthy metabolism. And because your body does not produce iodine, it needs to be supplied in the diet, it says. And iodine can be also be used to detoxify toxic compounds and strongly increases the mRNA decay rate. And dietary iodine also controls its own absorption through regulation of the sodium iodide symporter, which protects the functions of the thyroid gland. 2. Zinc. Zinc enables the body to make proteins and DNA, contributes to wound healing and plays a role in childhood growth and development. It is also an antioxidant properties and plays an important role in cell-mediated immune function and modulates mRNA levels of cytokines. Zinc has been shown to regulate gene transcription in cancer cells, plus zinc globally down-regulates microRNA expression and key enzymes and proteins necessary for the microRNA maturation and stability. And lastly, zinc finger protein serrate is among the plant compounds that may silence mRNA. 3. Queer setting. A flavonoid with multiple proven health benefits to both man and animals displays a plethora of biological activities, and quercetin treated neutrophils exhibited a remarkable suppression in mRNA expression of various pro-inflammatory genes, and one of the lesser known and recently discovered roles of quercetin is modulation of microRNA expression, which plays a vital role in health and disease. 4. Supercharged C60. Nanocarbon activated charcoal. Now the nano aspect of that product concerns me, I have to say. But carbon 60 is a naturally occurring molecule comprised of 60 carbon atoms forming something that looks like a hollow soccer ball. And the scientific name for C60 is a Buckminster fullerene, and it is the only molecule of a single element to form a spherical cage. And it may be the most powerful antioxidant yet known, performing the antioxidant action of superoxide dismutase, glutathione, catalase, oh my god, not spies, and COQ10. And over the past 13 years, the supercharged C60 fullerene molecule has been examined, tested, and characterized by no less than 15 universities and 5 federally certified research laboratories, resulting in more than 600 evaluations. Universities and federal research labs raises big concerns to me. And there's also been considerable positive research conducted regarding supercharged C60 potential uses in electromagnetic field absorption. And a supercharged C60 molecule is a nanocarbon material that exhibits incredibly potent antioxidant properties that may augment the body's ability to manage oxidative stress in both healthy and diseased states. And the studies indicate that carbon nanocarriers can deliver small interfering RNA and enables a myriad of plant biotechnology mRNA applications, which internalize into cells, and subsequent gene silencing efficiency, and are critical for efficient gene knockdown. I'm sorry, but that sounds eerily like the jab to me. Remember the term zero carbon? I would question that. But I'm not a medical expert, so. And the fifth one is PQQ, pyroloquinoline. Quinine. We'll just say PQQ, because it's easier. Is a powerful antioxidant and cellular energy booster that works to support the health of your energy-producing mitochondria, protecting them from oxidative damage, even helping you grow new mitochondria. And PQQ is actually the only nutrient on Earth known to be capable of generating new mitochondria. And PQQ is contained in fruits and vegetables and in human breast milk, and is a plant growth factor and bacterial cofactor. And studies have shown that PQQ, this disodium salt, has positive effects on cognitive function and may have a protective effect on UVA, irradiation-induced aging. Now, I'm not sure how valid all these items are, but maybe it will help some people. Here's a song for Joe Biden and maybe some other public figures. Time will tell. Right, a few other items to cover before very detailed expose this week. I'm going to put some feet to the fire again. Dallas and Boston fed the Federal Reserve Presidents Robert Kaplan, Eric Rosengren. Guess we know where they're from. Both have had to resign this week after allegations of corrupt trading. And these men are alleged to have used their insider information from their positions at the banks to enrich themselves. No change there then. But they were buying single stocks like Pfizer and Chevron. Well, I never. Of course, all the gas prices have gone up again. And that's to feed their back pocket. And he said, we have strong reason to believe that they knew more than the average citizen about the financial health of these companies, and thanks to their role as presidents of their respective Federal Reserve banks. And whilst not admitting to the crimes, they both expressed regret for the appearance of conflicts of interest. The whole of the Fed is a conflict of interest to we the people. And someone said that they closed it down. We still wait. And said we are appalled at this level of behaviour from officials in the government. We've only just found out. Though unfortunately we can't say we're surprised. The reality is, morally corrupt people have been running the government and these banks for a long time now, and we all suffer because of it. And how can we trust the decisions of people in power to make economic policies that benefit our own individual financial interests? The sour truth is, we can't. Remember our piece on government services being ran not by the government, but private contractors. Hello, Serco. And a report come out this week that taxpayers' money has been lost in a Westminster black hole, with the startling figure of $265 billion pounds, not dollars, so that's about $300 billion a year, which is said to be unaccounted for after reviews are still yet to be undertaken. Beware the false flag to bury it, Britain. Remember 9/11? Now, bodies such as the British Council are quangos and are ultimately organisations that are funded by the taxpayers, but not controlled directly by the central government. And the government in the UK has been asked to properly account for £265 billion that has been spent by quangos, which are non-departmental public bodies. Now, in the UK, the term quango refers to different arm's length government bodies. Now the US would call it NGOs, or ones that still remain partly controlled or financially backed by the government. And the new report has claimed that a review of the bodies responsible for spending £265 billion a year of taxpayers' money has not been completed. And the review has yet to be completed in full, with only a percentage said to have been reviewed, despite it being 5 years after it was promised to be undertaken. told you about those government services. They're not government. Your government is not running the country's services. It's these quangos or NGOs, private goons. This is an official document from 1948 in Vienna, Austria, that contains the following. Allied Military Police Headquarters, Vienna, October the 1st, 1948. The Allied, take note of that, Allied Committee Inquiry has to date proven that no poison gas was ever used to kill prisoners in the following concentration camps. Berger-Bellison, Buchenwald, Dachau-Flossenbürg, Gross-Rosen, Mauthausen, and satellite camps Natzweiler, Neuengamme, Niederhagen, Ravensbrück, Sachsenhausen, Stutthof, or their Seenstand. Berger, Buchenwald, Flossenbürg, and Rosen. All very Jewish names of camps, that. How odd is that? And it states on this document, in all cases where gases were alleged, it could be proven that torture had been used to extract confessions and witnesses had lied. So let's analyse this, shall we? And does it pass the common sense test? Why would so-called German Nazis, who were intent on covering up their crimes, then torture people into saying that they have done the said crimes? Does that make any sense? So what that tells you is it was the Jewish elites who ran these camps, as the names of the camps have proven, who tortured and experimented on their own so-called people, and then tortured them into saying they were gassed. And the report says any former inmate who during their debriefing continued to allege that poison gas was used to murder people, in particular Jews, are to be reported to this office, and if they insist on lying further, they are to be charged with perjury. Major Miller, commanding officer, Allied Military Police, Vienna. Who told those people to lie is the great question, and why? I know for a fact there was never any evidence of gas lines into the camps found. And the gas that they say they used, Zyklon B, produces a clear blue staining on the walls after use. A clear blue staining on the walls after use. Remember, this is a time when there was not so much colours of paint, it was whitewash or that green paint. Zyklon B comes up as blue on the walls and you can't get rid of it. We are told thousands were gassed and yet there was no blue walls with residue of Zyklon B has ever been found. You mentioned Duke University before. and perhaps they should pull their children out of prison. They clearly don't know anything about common sense. And here's what this university is up to. Just when you think you've heard everything, up pops some other way of invading your privacy. And for the past 10 years, Sonia Grigo has been thinking about toilets, and more specifically what we deposit into them. And she said, we are laser focused on the analysis of stools, says the Duke University research professor, with all the unself-consciousness of someone used to talking about bodily functions. And she said, we think there's an incredible untapped opportunity for health data. And this information is not tapped because of the universal aversion to having anything to do with your own stool. I bet she's fun at parties. What do you do for a living? I study turds. Really. And as the co-founder of Coprata, Grego is working on a toilet that uses sensors and artificial intelligence to analyse waste, and she hopes to have an early model for a pilot study ready within 9 months. And a toilet that you have in your home has not functionally changed in its design, she said, since it was first introduced in the second half of the 19th century. And she said, there are, of course, now loos with genital washing capabilities or heated seats, but this is basic compared to what Grego is envisaging. And she said, in all other aspects of your life, your electricity, your communication, even your doorbell have enhanced capabilities, which means spying. And the smart toilet's time has come. Oh dear, the smart toilet now. And it's potentially huge market in the developed world, and everyone who is able to use a toilet multiple times a day. Only problem with that is 2.3 billion around the world don't have a toilet. And yet again, they're using what is the cancer of society. Data and marketing. Snake oil people. Grego adds that she can certainly envision a world in which a toilet that does more than flush excreta is available to every household. And there are numerous companies working on bringing that to the market. And smart toilet innovators believe the loo could become the ultimate health monitoring tool. Is that tool or is it stool? And believes her product, which analyzes and tracks stool samples and sends the data to an app. Oh my God. We've got an app for having a shit now. Seriously. And will provide information related to cancer and many other chronic diseases. And for general consumers, it will provide peace of mind, she says, by establishing a healthy baseline. And having technology that tracks what is normal for an individual could provide an early warning that a checkup is needed to go and speak to a so-called expert doctor who doesn't know what he's talking about. I think not. And for people with specific conditions such as inflammatory bowel disease, the device could provide helpful monitoring for doctors. The classic fear-based tactic they use to essentially follow, track and spy on us all from every angle, it seems. And she said it's very difficult to know when to escalate or de-escalate treatment, and stool-based biomarkers can provide that information. At some point, she thinks a smart toilet could make lifestyle suggestions. It could tell you to eat more fiber or certain nutrients. I'll eat what I like, thank you. And for instance, or work out what kind of food triggered an uncomfortable gastric episode. Just what we needed. Something else to monitor us and tell us what to do. Really. The science of nutrition is really moving in the direction of personalized nutrition, she says. Our technology will be an enabler, nice wording, of this, because you have the information of what you eat, but we can make seamless the obtaining of information of what comes out. What comes out is like this idea. Utter shit. Sorry. Is this evidence of people disappearing? Time will tell. Singapore's population has shrank by a record 4.1% year over year. And they say it's because its borders remain largely restricted to foreign travel. They are visitors, they are not residents. And it's the biggest fall on record in bookkeeping going back to 1950, according to data from the country's Department of Statistics. And the decline is driven largely by a 10.7% decrease in its non-resident population, who are mostly foreign workers who aren't permanent residents and students. As travel curbs coupled with a slowing economy and a tightened stance towards employing foreign labour, that's the excuses. And Singapore's population is now 5.45 million as of the end of June, and it's the lowest it's been since 2013. This type of story is what's wrong with the world. And we the people have to take some responsibility for this as well. But it's just staggering, the stupidity and injustice behind it all. Medical, media and bankers people committing acts against humanity, agency, military and politicians also. And zero accountability, it seems, for those groups. And yet, this past week, a homeless man underpays for a soda by 43 cents and is going to jail for 7 years. And this is what is wrong with this world and the injustice and inequality of it all. A Pennsylvania man, I don't know what state that's from, was jailed last month and charged with a felony after allegedly underpaying for a bottle of Mountain Dew by 43 cents, which technically never, and a penalty due largely in part to the state's three strikes law. Now, Joseph Sobelewski walked into a convenience store in Perry County, where there was a special for a 20-ounce Mountain Dew bottles of two for $3, which just means it's $1.50 each. Now, Joseph took one bottle and put $2 on the counter and walked out. The store called the police and he was arrested. And Joseph may not have known was that a single bottle of Mountain Dew costs $2.29, not $1.50. And they say they shorted the store by 43 cents, or 29 cents for the bottle plus tax. And he's been held on a $50,000 bond and faces up to 7 years in prison for that. Find out who the owner of that store is and boycott it. We don't need these control freaks, non-common sense people in our communities. Now, Sobolewski, who is 38, who is homeless, has several convictions for other minor crimes and is being charged under the state's three strikes law for retail theft, according to the news outlet. Now, his first offence was involved for him not paying for gas, which was more than a decade ago. And in December 2011, not 2021 or 2020, 10 years ago, he was arrested for stealing a pair of shoes from Kmart that cost $40. And for that crime, the idiots in the justice system asked him to pay $866 in fines and fees and was sentenced to 3 months in jail. How and why would you charge a homeless man $866 in fines because he couldn't afford a pair of shoes? And this is a lack of caring, not only by the system, but we the people as well, and we have to stop it. All the crimes being committed by so-called famous people, and someone goes to jail for 7 years over a 43 cents bottle of soda. How about addressing why haven't they addressed over the last 10 years in Pennsylvania, why the man's homeless to begin with? Why isn't he being given a place to stay? So that's the real problem. This is a series of questions that were sent in by one of the members, so I decided to answer them. Was Marduk removed on agreement with the Universal Council? Correct. Who had the idea to remove him? Kim and the team. Will there be any new agreement or agreement soon with the Universal Council for them to do something to help us? Well, technically that would be operational. But that type of question is also lurching towards a saviour programme again. We have to help ourselves first. Otherwise it becomes another parent and child situation. And that's what we're doing with the TPC. 13 covens that are life sorcerers that control the djinns and the Dreamtime dark magicians. Correct. But the last count, those covens were down to 2 and possibly none. But individuals will still play, but at a much reduced vigour and with more exposure. Courtesy of the Day of Svarog. Has the covens, or are they coens, similar in nature and quite possibly another play on words by changing a consonant instead of a vowel to L? Have they lost their power now when the power structure that was above them is now gone? Yes, mainly, although individual and much smaller groups can still play. Is it still business as usual and them just following the old script? No, it's not business as usual due to much reduced numbers, but yes, they follow the now failed old script and wonder why it doesn't work too well or not at all. One day they'll realise that. Are all the top end controllers now gone? Basically, yes. Although other power-hungry clowns think they can fill the void. But not too well, as they have found out. Are the black nobility now infiltrated, intermarried or whatever by the Rothschilds and or the Order of the Black Sun? They were part of both groups over time. Are secret societies the driving force in the Corona race? In some cases, yes. More supporting evidence for our From Russia With Love series. And the University of Bristol in the UK has just fired Professor David Miller, who is a leading UK critic of Israel and its lobby. And the Support David Miller campaign responded that the university was sending a message that it will protect racists and that Muslims, black students and Palestinians are not welcome at Bristol. And in a statement sent to the Electronic Intifada, the campaign said that the university's decision was designed to send a chill down the spines of academics around the world who expose Zionist racism. That's what they do. And the campaign said that Miller's sacking had come after a pressure campaign by Israel's assets in the UK and accused the university of collaborating with the Israel lobby. Now, at the start of 2021, pro-Israel lobby groups ramped up their campaign against him, and these included the Board of Deputies of British Jews, the Zionist Federation, the Jewish Labour Movement, and the Community Security Trust. And at the end of February, Israel itself also got involved, mobilising one of its online troll armies to flood social media conversations with calls for Miller to be fired. Now these online troll armies, are far more common than people think. And some of it is an army of bots, computer bots in most cases, designed to stir up trouble on sites and deflect from the narrative. And don't think this is recent. This was going on in the early 2000s using Israeli trolls. I exposed it in on disclosed TV site. They were doing the same thing. And they deleted the whole blog and created disclosed TV 2 and I was banned from it. Not a surprise. Because I exposed who were the Israeli agents operating out of Debka. Now, ACT.IL. IL is the code for Israel, ill being the operative word, as in sick, which is directed and funded by an Israeli ministry, issued a mission calling for attacks on an opinion piece published by Al Jazeera, which was defending Miller. It's nice to see so many more now seeing who the real problem is. It's not communists, German Nazis, white supremacists, fascists. It was the Hebrew Anunnaki all along, with their anti-Aryan campaign and anti-Semitic guilt and shame programming. Well, guess what? It's breaking down rapidly now. TikTok. Here's a song for all of the members, and I want to say thanks to you all. Right, we're going to go into an exposé now. And most people have not heard of this group, but the influence on modern day is astounding given how far back it goes. And it's called Pinkerton, who were founded as the Pinkerton National Detective Agency and is a private security guard and detective agency established in the United States by Scotsman Alan Pinkerton in the 1850s and is currently a subsidiary of Securitas AB. Now, Pinkerton became famous when he claimed to have foiled a plot to assassinate President-elect Abraham Lincoln, who later hired Pinkerton agents for his personal security during the Civil War. Maybe it was their agents that took Lincoln out. One has to wonder. Now, Pinkerton's agents performed services ranging from security guarding to private military contracting work, which makes them an earlier version of the CIA, and essentially a private mercenary-based group that has become so prevalent now with Blackwater and also NATO. Yes, NATO are a private mercenary group working for the Rothschilds, whilst making countries pay for their own alleged security, when no such efforts of the NATO mercenaries exist for that purpose. Now, the Pinkerton National Detective Agency hired women and minorities from its founding, a practice that was uncommon at the time. Yes, they were honeypots, and foreign agents is the reasoning behind that. And Pinkerton was the largest private law enforcement organisation in the world at the height of its power. And the great question is, for whose benefit? Now, during the labour strikes of the late 19th, 20th and 21st centuries, businessmen hired the Pinkerton Agency to infiltrate unions, supply guards, keep strikers and suspected unionists out of factories, and recruit goon squads to intimidate workers. 1850s. And by that passage alone, it is an agency that worked for the elites in the system. And one such confrontation was the Homestead Strike of 1892, in which Pinkerton agents were called in to reinforce the strike-breaking measures of industrialist Henry Clay Frick, acting on behalf of Andrew Carnegie. And there is your confirmation. They worked on behalf of the elite families. And the ensuing battle between Pinkerton agents and striking workers led to the deaths of 3 Pinkerton agents and 9 steel workers. And the Pinkertons were also used as guards in coal, iron and lumber disputes in Illinois, Michigan, New York, Pennsylvania and also West Virginia, as well as the Great Railroad Strike of 1877 and the Battle of Blair Mountain in 1921. The Battle of Blair Mountain was the largest labour uprising in the United States history and the largest armed uprising since the American Civil War. And the conflict there occurred in Logan County, West Virginia, as part of the Coal Wars, and a series of early 20th century labour disputes in Appalachia. Up to 100 people were killed in those disputes, and many more arrested. And the United Mine Workers saw major declines in membership, but the long-term publicity led to some improvements in working conditions. Breaking the unions. They've been doing it a long, long time. Now, for 5 days from late August to early September 1921, some 10,000 armed coal miners confronted 3,000 lawmen and strikebreakers called the Logan Defenders, who were backed by coal mine operators during the miners' attempt to unionize the southwestern West Virginia coal fields when tensions rose between workers and the mine management. And the battle ended after approximately 1 million rounds were fired and the United States Army, represented by the West Virginia Army National Guard, led by McDowell County native William Eubanks, intervened by presidential order. These were likely the very same people that went on to destroying Tulsa, Oklahoma the same year and blamed it on the white supremacists. We'll connect the dots later. But Blair Mountain is an interesting name, given that another Blair came to power, or Belia is the more apt term, 70 years later in the UK, and imposed more wars and tyranny. It's funny how often that happens, isn't it? IRA bombings, 1860 through 1870. IRA bombings, 1960 to 1970 and beyond. The hippie movement, 1860. The hippie movement, 1960. Union and workers crushed in 1921. Unions, jobs and workers crushed in 2021. Global flu, 1919. Global flu, 2019. Now, the company has continued to exist in various forms through to the present day and is now a division of the Swedish security company Securitas AB, operating as Pinkerton Consulting and Investigations, doing business as Pinkerton Corporate Risk Management. And for the former Government Services Division, PGS, Government Services, another mercenary clown group, now operates as Securitas Critical Infrastructure Services, Inc. See how they change names? Just like the Hebrew Anunnaki. But Securitas AB is a security services, and the group has over 300,000 employees in 53 countries worldwide, and Securitas AB owns and operates the Swiss, well I never, security company Protectas AG in Switzerland, where there already existed a security company called Securitas AG, which is part of the Swiss Securitas Group. They're all connected. Now, in 1972, the group was rebranded as Securitas, which is the name of the Roman goddess of security and stability. And in 1981, the group was divided between the Sons and the international operation developed into the group known as Group 4. We've heard them on the show. And in 2003, the group's security services in the United States were integrated under the Securitas brand, and the group's cash handling services were completely divisionalized with a joint management for the United States and European operations. In November of 2007, the United Kingdom cash handling services of the division Loomis was sold to Vaultex Limited, owned by HSBC and Barclays, clown banks, major clown banks. And then Securitas began operating in Peru, November 2007. In 2008, the division Loomis cash handling was distributed to the group's shareholders and then listed as a Nasdaq OMX in Stockholm. September 2010, Securitas acquired the security services operations of the Reliance Security Group in the United Kingdom. In November 2011, they acquired Chubb Security Personnel, also in the United Kingdom. Takeover. Listen closely, America. This is important. In October 2015, Securitas acquired Diebold Incorporated electronic security business in North America. Oops. Now, Diebold's North American electronic security business is based in Green, Ohio, United States. And you wonder why elections are fake. There's your answer. All controlled by these private groups ran by elites. Now, unsurprisingly, the Carnegie's Fund is one of the top 10 shareholders in this company, who not only run the government services, but the cash flow in both America and the UK. And for those who don't know, the government services scam is all government services carried out in the UK and America are done by these private mercenary groups, not the government themselves. That's why I said earlier, it's pointless marching on governments. You're missing the hidden hand. Now, in the 1850s, Alan Pinkerton, Scottish detective and spy, met Chicago attorney Edward Rooker in a local Masonic hall and formed the Northwestern Police Agency, later known as the Pinkerton Agency. And so in comes the Scottish Rite Masons, who designed, developed and have ran Washington DC from the off. Now, the historian Frank Maughan writes, by the mid-1850s, a few businessmen saw the need for greater control over their employees, and their solution was to sponsor a private detective system. In February 1855, Alan Pinkerton, after consulting with six Midwestern railroads, created such an agency in Chicago. And among the business's early operations was to safely deliver the newly elected President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, to D.C. in light of an assassination threat. And the Pinkerton detective, Kate Warne, was assigned and successfully delivered Lincoln to the U.S. capital city through a series of disguises and related tactics that required her to stay awake throughout the entire long journey. Boggles the mind. As a result of the public notoriety of this success, the business adapted an open eye as its logo and the slogan, "We never sleep." An open eye. We never sleep. Their logo is the all-seeing eye, with a hidden part, because the pupil of the eye is black and pierced by the pyramid shape. Oops. Symbolizing the black sun rising over the pyramids, the Eye of Horus and the Eye of Ra cult, of which all Masons are a part of that satanic dark-based cult, whether knowingly or not. They all worship Lucifer. Now, in 1871, Congress appropriated, 1871, $50,000, equivalent to just over $1 million in 2020, to the new Department of Justice to form a sub-organization devoted to the detection and prosecution of those guilty of violating federal law. Now, the amount was insufficient for the new DOJ to fashion an internal investigating unit, so they contracted out the services to the Pinkerton National Defective Agency. So let's get this right, shall we? The American Department of Justice is ran by a private mercenary agency group supported by the Masons. And you wonder why there's no justice? Now, since passage of the Anti-Pinkerton Act in 1893, federal law has stated that an individual employed by the Pinkerton Detective Agency or similar organization may not be employed by the government of the United States or the government of the District of Columbia, which was a complete and utter waste of time. Why? Because there is no government of the United States. Only a private corporation called USA Inc. And there has been no government in DC since 1871. Now, in the 1870s, Franklin B. Gowan, then president of the Philadelphia and Reading Railroad, hired the agency to investigate labor unions for the company's mines. And a Pinkerton agent, James McParland, using the alias James McKenna, infiltrated the Molly Maguires, which was a 19th century secret society of mainly Irish American coal miners, leading to the downfall of the labor organization. And on July 6, 1892, during the Homestead Strike, 300 Pinkerton detectives from New York and Chicago were called in by Carnegie's steel Henry Clay Frick to protect the Pittsburgh area mill and the strikebreakers. This resulted in another firefight and siege in which 16 men were killed and 23 others were wounded. And to restore order, two brigades of the Pennsylvania militia were called out by the governor. And as a legacy of the Pinkertons' involvement, a bridge connecting the nearby Pittsburgh suburb of Munhall and Rankin was named Pinkerton's Landing Bridge. And their agents were hired to track Western outlaws, Jesse James, the Reno Gang, and also the Wild Bunch, including Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. On March 17, 1874, two Pinkerton detectives and a deputy sheriff, Edwin P. Daniels, encountered the Younger Brothers, associates of the James Younger Gang, Daniels, John Younger, and one Pinkerton agency or agent were killed. Always seems to be death where they go around. And it continues. In Union, Missouri, a bank was robbed by George Collins, aka Fred Lewis, and Bill Randolph, and Pinkerton detective Chas Schumacher trailed them and was killed. Now, Collins was hanged on March 26, 1904, and Randolph was hanged on May 8, 1905 in Union, Missouri. But Pinkertons were also hired for transport and money, and other high-quality merchandise between cities and towns, which made them vulnerable to outlaws. And Pinkerton agents were usually very well paid and well armed. G. H. Thiel, a former Pinkerton employee, established the Thiel Detective Service Company in St. Louis, Missouri, as a competitor to the Pinkerton agency. And the Thiel Company operated in the US, Canada, and Mexico. One has to wonder if they are related to the PayPal founder, Peter Thiel. Maybe, maybe not. And due to its conflicts with labor unions, the word Pinkerton continues to be associated by labor organizers and union members with strike breaking. Now, Pinkerton's diversified from labor spying following revelations publicized by the La Follette committee hearings in 1937, and the firm's criminal detection work also suffered from the police modernization movement, which saw the rise of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the bolstering of detective branches and resources of the public police. So, Not only did this group in part create the FBI, but also the DOJ. Interesting. But with less of the labour and criminal investigation work on which Pinkerton's thrived for decades, the company became increasingly involved in protection services, read mercenaries. And in the 1960s, even the word detective disappeared from the agency's letterhead. And the company now focuses on threat intelligence, risk management, executive protection, and active shooter response. Thought the FBI did that. Obviously thought wrong. And in 1999, the company was bought by Securitas AB, a Swedish security company, for $384 million, followed by the acquisition of the William J. Burns Detective Agency, which was founded in 1910, who was a long-time Pinkerton rival, to create as a division of the parent Securitas Security Services USA. And today, the company's headquarters are located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So let's have a look at the connections of William J. Burns and see what we unearth. Well, Burns's agents infiltrated the industrial workers of the world during an organizing drive in the copper mines of Arizona. And activities including issuing fake IWW membership cards, infiltrating the workforce, spying and intercepting the mail of organizers. And agents of the Burns Detective Agency were hired to investigate jurors in a federal trial of Harry F. Sinclair in November 1927. And Sinclair hired William J. Burns to have 14 agents follow the jurors and produce daily reports on their activities. And the arrangement resulted in a mistrial. But in a new hearing, Sinclair claimed that he was concerned about the welfare of the jurors. Yeah, right. And Sinclair was convicted on corruption charges and sentenced to just 6 months in jail. 6 months in jail for corruption charges and interfering with jurors. And yet a homeless man goes to jail for 7 years for 43 cents of a soda. And William J. Burns was sentenced to 15 days. And Burns's son, William Sherman Burns, was ordered to pay a $1,000 fine. But in comes the Supreme Court and reversed William J. Burns's conviction. Oh, my God. Now, Sinclair, who was possibly a member of the Scottish St. Clair Masonic family line, had another interesting link. He created Sinclair Oil, but also in 1910, four businessmen, Eugene Frank Blaze, Charles J. Reitzman, William Connolly, and Harry F. Sinclair, or Sinclair, bought the failed Farmers National Bank in Tulsa. And they created a new entity, Exchange National Bank, and named Sinclair as the president. This bank later renamed as the National Bank of Tulsa and was a forerunner of the present Bank of Oklahoma. That bank was created just 4 years prior to the takedown of the rival bank and the most successful bank in America, the Freedman Savings and Trust Bank, that was owned by the blacks in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Is that related? Who knows, but one suspects it may well be. Oh, the webs they weave that goes out in all directions. But thankfully, nowadays, it leaves trails for people like me to follow and then connect the dots, which doesn't please the system too much, I hear. Well, boo-hoo. Final piece tonight. This is something I put in the chat, and it's very important for all of us who listen to this show, is keep supporting each other. It's important now and in the future. You have no idea how much it bothers others outside of THITPC. They can't handle people being nice, supportive, and loving and caring for each other. And that simple solution is fixing a global problem. I guess that guy was right again. Oops. A question was posed in the chat of where does the tree get its mass from? Of course, we focused on the trees, I think it was in last week's piece. Maybe the week before, I've lost track now. And my answer was inner growth and expansion, which applies to us. And the key also is it keeps itself slim and trim. It grew taller and went vertical, not out and linear. Think about that in terms of time, placement and destiny. But this got me pondering. Uh-oh, I hear the cry. He's going to ruin something else or trigger me again. But maybe the great question we should be looking at is, why do some people grow too much and carry excess weight? Now, we are told it's a poor lifestyle and eating habits. But what if the excess weight is the trauma-laden baggage? Oops. Because people have eating habits to cover up trauma. It's called comfort eating. But it's not that comfortable at all, is it? And maybe excess fat stored is actually excess trauma. Many have tried diets and mostly they fail. Maybe the answer was to try shadow and inner work instead. As chaos prevails all around us, it is often easier to get unbalanced. As madness prevails all around us, it is often easier to stay unbalanced. As lunacy prevails all around us, it is a testament to us all we remained with sanity. We kept our head, hearts and minds whilst all around us lost theirs. And it is often said that a hungry stomach, empty pockets or a broken heart can teach us the best life lessons, just like the dark can and do. And the moral of what I've just said is, you never followed the crowd. You never caved in to the herd mentality. You never allowed yourself to become them. You never unbalanced enough and you kept your sanity, despite the onslaught around you. In essence, you kept your own sovereignty. You trusted your own instincts and created and walked your own rough, rugged, worn-out old path. Not the newly tarmac roads laced with gold all laid out before you. The rugged road is the easier path, not the hardest, as many will tell you, because it leads somewhere. The tarmac road is the harder, filled with saviour programs, snake oil people, seducers, and ultimately end up with a cul-de-sac and the loop. And at some point in time, those on that road will all end up back where they started. and they ponder on it, all dazed and confused, and all will say one thing. Can you guess? Their road is filled with illusion, and yet so many walk that road. And it's not only freshly tarmacked, but laced with gold, like the yellow brick road in The Wizard of Oz. Remember, there is no sun in the shadow of the wizard. They are blinded by their own inability to see the repeat patterns the dark forces lays out for them in their world. And there are many on that road, in their world, includes the trustee. We all tried to help them see, but we received abuse, flack, nastiness and dismissiveness in return. But we got over that and continued our own upward facing path on our non-linear journey of discovery, filled with potholes, barriers, small swords of the medical variety being thrown at us, request for the papers please, and to our own testimony did an FU to all of that and pushed on. But whilst trudging our path, we still found time to stop on our weary travels to help and support the cul-de-sac people in the other world. Some listened after they stopped spinning their own hamster wheels and pondered on things and all thought the same thing. Can you guess that now? So what is the learning part of where you stand today? As you all ponder what you haven't done, what you missed, what you haven't gained, and lose patience because of this, that, and the other is not done, not achieved, not happened. But where is the gratitude for yourself for what you have achieved already? How can you gauge progress if you haven't recognized your own progress? Why are battles lost remembered more than personal battles won? Why is sickness a focus of your attention and not all the times you were healthy? Why are old friends mourned and yet new ones less embraced? Why the focus on what you don't have and not recognize enough of what you do have? Why worry about the time of your death when you can focus more on the time of your living? And why have regrets of the past when you can manifest a brighter future? Why focus on work or a job when you are the work and the job? And these are the change of mindsets and thinking patterns we are all fighting to overcome as we unhook the old programs. And it's ironic that many people are working on themselves and changing everything about themselves, including the future path of their DNA RNA. That the soulless, the bots, the psychopaths and the deluded are changing their DNA RNA into a permanent defect that will ultimately lead to their own demise. Many now who have taken the techno jobs are all saying the same thing now as well. Can you guess it now? And what this all tells you now is, and is reinforced by certain fallen alt-media personality is, we at THI are on the right path. And clearly, with their endless efforts to spoil that, they recognise it as well. It tells me, and should you, you are a force to be reckoned with. Recognise that within yourself and then the collective. The answer to the question was, the conspiracy theorists were right all along. Take comfort of and from that on your, at times, lonely, long, rugged path. Because all of it will lead to something better. This has been the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Bye for now.